Call the Community and Regional Affairs meeting to order is now 8:05. President Representative Quasher, Representative Ford, Representative Drummond, Representative Reinbold, and my fellow co-chair, Madam Ledoux. And we thank you all, and we also thank the Chris Jones, the House Recording Secretary. Thank you, Chris. And Lori Bird, our LIO moderator, and our CNRA committee aides, Dirk Moffat and Kimberly Clark. I was turning off my phone, so I want to remind everyone to turn off their phones, please. Thank you very much. Today on the agenda is House Bill 181, short title, Mining License Revenue Sharing, and House Bill 166, an act relating to the Buckfield Revolving Loan Fund. First order of business is House Bill 181 included in members' packets with a proposed committee substitute draft.
Yes. I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for HB 181, version 28-LS0649/U as the working document.
I object for purpose of discussion. Representative Foster, please have your staff come up, introduce themselves for the record, and you may begin the introduction of your bill. Mr. Representative Foster.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for listening to our bill. I'll have my Chief of Staff introduce himself in a moment, but I will just give a quick introduction about what the bill is about here. HB 181, in 2011, the Department of Natural Resources conducted an offshore mineral lease sale off the coast of Nome. The sale prompted a spike in demand for docking at the Nome Harbor, space the harbor does not have and can't afford to build. Now, from 2011 to 2012, the total dockings went from 271 to 436, and while the state received revenue from this, there was no framework to help the city with the new infrastructure that would be needed to accommodate the increase in the traffic. So, House Bill 181 would just help to provide that framework. So with that, if I could introduce my Chief of Staff, and he'll go into some of the more of the details and answer any questions that you might have.
Chairman Nagyak and the rest of the committee, thank you. Paul Bull, staff to Representative Foster. I think first we'll go over the difference between the proposed CS and the original bill. The original intent of the bill was to apply this only where these offshore mineral lease sales are within municipal boundaries. The first draft that we got back from legal, it turned out, did not do that, so we got another draft that did do that, and that is the difference between the one draft and the other. Fairly simple, it might read a little different than that, but that's the basics. It spells out that it's got to be within a municipality instead of C-word of a municipality. And that gives you the legal definition. If the members will go to the map section they've got. There's one titled the West Beach Mining Area. And that gives you just a general overview of the town and a blow up of the port. And then the next slide back shows you the Nome Beach public mining area, and that gives you an idea of what the property corners actually are. That's this one with the big yellow box. And as you can see within the municipality, its actual property corners go close to the 3 mile lot. 3 mile limit that state waters. 3 mile limit is actually a little difficult to see, but in the lower left hand corner, you can see the line going across that is the designation of the 3 mile limit. So that is the box within which the lease sales on the next page and the mining tax revenue on the next, or on the previous page would apply. Oh, sorry. On this page, it should be titled 2011 Nome Offshore Lease Sale Track Location Map. And so that is a, that shows all of the offshore leases that were available in 2011. And so we're only capturing a small portion of those, but the point was to limit it to municipal boundaries to keep the scope of the overall bill as small as possible. We did get a letter from Ledge Research telling us that this applies to only one community in the whole state, and that is Nome. I did speak with Esther Temple from DNR. She was unable to have anyone here today, but she was able to tell us, although they could not support or go against the bill yet, they could say that they liked the committee substitute better than the original because of its narrower scope. So to get back to the bill itself.
Is it likely that the administration is going to have some opinions on it as the bill works its way through the legislature? Is that what you anticipate?
I imagine they may have an opinion here or there, but they're not likely to get overly excited about it, as it really just grants them authority and doesn't make them expend funds. Any funds expended would have to be expended through the legislature. So it gives them authority language, but it's not an appropriation.
Any other questions?
Let me see whether follow up that I understand this. I mean, so this just gives the administration authority to appropriate, to give Nome or any other municipality, which doesn't exist, but if it did exist, authority to appropriate funds to make up for the fact that things are happening in their offshore area.
I think that can best be explained if I go through section one of the committee substitute. So in section one, what this does is after a mining lease sale or the collection of mineral mining taxes, 50% of that is already taken, set aside, and put into the permanent fund. The remaining 50%, which normally goes into the general fund, would be split in half again, and the remaining 25% would go into the general fund, and the other 25% would go into a separate fund that could be appropriated from the legislature at the request of the commissioner.
And if it wasn't, through the chair, and if it wasn't appropriated through the request of the commissioner, does it have to stay in that fund, or could it be used just like anything else for anything?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, it would be just like any non-dedicated fund, expendable with a simple majority vote.
Just one more follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
That if it just allows the legislature to do what the legislature could already do, I mean, if it wanted to appropriate funds to make Nome whole for this mining activity, it could really do so right now. So what's it going to do?
Well, the main point of it is would set up the framework in which the department would keep track of those lease sales and the mining taxes within those municipal boundaries, so they would know, A, how much to ask for, and B, be able to determine at their own level whether or not they would want to approach the legislature to ask for it. So they could, in consultation with the municipality, talk about whether those funds are necessary or not. In this particular case, what happened was those lease sales drove demand in docking demands at the Inner Harbor. The members will go to the Port of Nome vessel calls by season chart. You can see that in 2011, when the lease sale started, we had 271 total dockings in the harbor. But in 2012, that went up to 436. So
through the chair, again, another question. And then I'm going to shut up and just let you continue. So why didn't the municipality just raise up their dockage fees just to make up for this? I mean, raise them, for example, for vessels above a certain length, which probably would have captured the larger commercial vessels and not captured the local vessels.
I believe we have personnel from the city online who might be best to answer that during public testimony. But as a bit of an answer on that, actually most of these vessels are small. These are not large mining operations. They're small dredges, 10, 20 feet long with suction dredges on them and divers going down. So they're pretty small. The second part is that although they could raise docking fees, that doesn't give them the capital that they need in order to dredge out a harbor.
Thank you.
Representative Harris?
First of all, what is the intent of the chairs on this legislation? Is it to hold it for the interim?
We'll find out after the...
Well, in part to answer the co-chair's question is the last time I was in Nome was the end of August, and of course that was a really busy time for those gold miners and the community. And so here's what I would suggest so that we get a boots on the ground feel for this, because this hardly explains what's going on in that community. Is in the middle of July, Pacific Northwest Economic Region is having their annual summit, and there'll be 200-300 legislators from Canada and the four states, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana. And so there'll be 600 people in the middle of Anchorage. On the day after the summit, there is a day trip to Nome to go see Nome, but more specifically, the activities of Bering Sea Gold TV show. And so you really can't, it's hard to capture the impact that's having on the community. And so I would suggest to the co-chairs that this committee hold this bill and then do a trip. The committee does a committee trip to the community so you can understand what the sponsor is trying to do here. But more importantly, you'll have a chance to see what a public testimony will show you is that, or try to explain to you, how this relationship that they have with this growing business and economy, and it also you'll better understand how even DNR can't comprehend the impact to the community, is that people will call up Nome, the city of Nome, says from Alabama or New York, and they'll say, just sold everything, I'm coming up, I'm going to become a gold miner. And they show up unprepared, and until the city of Nome stopped DNR, DNR was just giving out permits willy-nilly. And they convinced them to stop it at 88 dredges. Now, 88 dredges in that community is a huge impact. Nome's used to gold rushes. But again, I think it's for all of us, and I was there in August, and of course, Representative Foster lives there, is you will have a better understanding of this, and we might have 7 advocates that could take this forward in the legislature and work with DNR to create a mechanism that does help out that community.
Representative Rambo.
Well, that sounds like a fascinating idea, because this is hard to picture and hard to comprehend. I think this sounds like an excellent concept, and I really like that the community is trying with its local resources to build infrastructure and have skin in the game. So I really do think that that this legislation, it sounds like it is needed, from what I can tell. And I had no idea the development that was going on in Nome. Little question in regards to, while I totally support the legislation, I'm wondering if you have any idea how much you're planning on taxing them, and will that impact the attraction to want to do mining and resourcing in the area? Because I do support this in the big picture, but I want to make sure that you guys aren't hindering your ability to develop there as well. So.
Yeah, Representative Reinbold, through the chair, I absolutely understand your concerns, and we don't affect the tax structure at all. This is simple. The tax remains the same. This just takes that captured tax from the department, and after it's split in half to go to the permanent fund and to the general fund, splits that general fund part in half again into a separate account that can be appropriated by the legislature. So to the taxee, I suppose, there's no noticeable difference.
Okay, great.
There's Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say thank you to Representative Heron. I think he brings up not only the difficulties that we currently have, but I think hand in hand with what's happening in terms of PENWAR and looking at Arctic access issues, our port is going to be more busy in the very near future, and so it's only a situation that's going to get worse. And I think the more that we can educate people, and it's not something that you can really grasp your hands around until you see just how it's like we're going back to 1900 when we had the gold rush up there. And so just trying to manage for that very, very busy time, and we love economic development, and we embrace mining, which is rich in this state, and we want to be ready for that, and be ready for what's happening in terms of the Arctic, and so with that.
With that, I think I'll take that in consideration, and I think that's a great idea, is to make a site visit to the to Nome, and really. And if Representative Foster would advise us as to when the time would be great for the committee to meet in no? Representative Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to mention, I do believe the city of Nome is here, and I think what they have to say might be very relevant, and I don't know if we're nearing a time when we can get public testimony here, but I'd love to get them on if possible.
Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. is that I'd rather see this committee make that summer visit than the Finance Committee. So, but I believe that the day after the summit is on a Friday, and I believe it's July 19th, is when PENWAR delegates can make that trip. But that's just the window.
Okay. If we could work with Representative Foster and the City of Nome, we could plan that. On my Ms. Michelle's from Nome, can you ask? I don't think this is. I just want to ask her something. We're just making discussion as to holding the ballot and then meeting in Nome, and we're having discussion about that now. Can you advise as to when that will be? Maybe in July, in conjunction with PENWAR?
Yeah, I guess that, Mr. Chairman, as Denise Michaels, the mayor, is the greatest ambassador for that community, so it'd probably be a better answer from her.
Mayor, are you online?
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to present the support for this bill. Yes, we would love for you guys to come up, and the best time would be after June, you know, when the first barge comes here and the suction dredgers, they're right when the water, when the ice breaks, they're right out there. And so at any time, and we'd love to work with the committee. Just to give you an example, in 2011, there was only 39 dredges. Last year, after opening up of the lease sales, there was 88 dredges, 30 support vessels, and 2 research ships. So we more than doubled with over 120 vessels in our harbor just for suction dredging alone.
All right, so if it's okay with...
I think that's just a great idea. I mean, I think that it's important for community and regional affairs to actually get to know, not just on paper, but have the chance to be at some of the communities such as Nome, in which we make decisions about all the time.
Thank you. So with that, I would like to recommend that we hold this. I would like to say that we'll hold this bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I might point out, we're still under debate of adoption of the CS as a working document.
I'd like to remove my objection to adopt the committee substitute. Thank you. Discussion.
Do you mind if I ask the sponsor a question?
Go ahead.
Is this okay with you guys to hold the bill, or is this something that you need in place for the summer?
Mr. Chairman, actually what I wanted to do is maybe ask Mayor Denise Michaels, who's online here from Nome, if maybe she can talk a little bit more about, respond to that question first, and then also maybe if you could go into a little more of the detail. So far, Mayor Denise Michaels, what we've done is we've introduced the mechanism, which is to take the mining tax and make that at the discretion of the administration, and the appropriation would be at the discretion of the legislature. It would be no more than what's currently in the mining tax. It would just be an allocation of that. Would not be an increase of the mining tax. But what I wanted to do was maybe just get a little more of a sense from you in terms of what's happening there, but first of all, if you could maybe answer a question from Representative Reinbold.
Yes, I you know, we would love to have this retroactive, but we understand that wouldn't be possible, and we are waiting to hear when the next state lease sales would be, and so we haven't heard anything, and so holding the bill I don't think would be a problem, as long as, you know, we keep on top of it for the next season.
So with that, I want to open public testimony, because I think we need to hear from other people also. So with that, I'll open public testimony. I think we have someone online to testify. Is there someone there online? Is it Scott?
Yes.
Scott Ruby, director of TCRA. Mr. Ruby? He's not here. So,
he's here, but just to answer. Mr. Chairman, Scott Ruby's here, but he's here for the next bill on the schedule.
Okay, I turn up my hearing aids. And we have Denise, would you continue, please, if you have anything there?
Sure. I believe we, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, provided you a copy of our letter of support, and I'll just briefly go over it. With the high prices for precious metal and the state DNR-sponsored lease sales, we've experienced an influx of offshore placer mining. These miners have provided a boost to our local merchants and the economy. At the same time, they've impacted our city services. Even though the City of Nome normally funds services with a variety of revenue sources, like, you know, property or sales tax, revenues to cover the cost for an additional staff at $60,000, We also purchased land at $85,000 and did design for mooring to aid in the congestion with this increase in dredges at $217,000. So overall, the city has spent on its own over $302,000 to expand our port facilities to support the gold dredging fleet. Also, other impacts are we have an increase in staff doing oil spill cleanup because of all the vessels there, so there's additional resources that we've been using. We are a mining community, and we do support this economic opportunity, and we support this potential solution for a portion of the revenue shortfall that may be possible with the reallocation of the mining license tax. It applies to all mining operations regardless of land status, size, or location. Presently, there is no uniform mechanism to allocate portions of the revenues back to communities that are impacted, such as Nome, by resource development. Such a revenue sharing model is effective in the state fishing industry, and similar programs have been successful in revenue sharing from the oil and gas industry in the Gulf of Mexico. Sharing portions of the state revenue from mining development with local communities in a predictable fashion would reduce the need for local government to impose their own targeted taxes on the industry and allow for local communities to provide services to the entities in the communities. And thank you for the opportunity.
I have a question for you on the activity there. I know you have two seasons there of gold mining, one in the summertime and one in the winter. I know they, I watch the show, so. So I know there's activity there almost all year round, gold mining, not right there in front of the port. So that also impacts the community during the wintertime?
Yes, it is. Right now there's probably 17 miners out on the ice doing under the ice mining right now. So yes, we are impacted in the winter too.
Okay, any other questions? Anybody else to testify on this bill? With that, I'd like to close public testimony. Representative Foster, you have any final comments?
No, I just appreciate your hearing the bill, and again, you know, we're just wanting to increase the infrastructure that we have there so that we can accommodate increased economic development in the mining area, and so you know, I do appreciate your listening to this, and we hope to see everybody in Nome, and that in itself will be a little bit of economic development for us, so thank you very much.
Thank you, but we're going to be holding this bill, but in the meantime, we need to work with the city of Nome and maybe Representative Foster and Representative Heron, because he's going to be working with some his committee members or to see how many people will be there. So I think it would be advantageous for us to work with you guys so we can determine when we're going to be there, because it's going to be very, very busy, so we need rooms at the hotel and all that other stuff. So if you could work with the staff would work with Representative Hare and Representative Foster, we can set up a plan to be in Nome sometime in July, I think you said?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm one of the hosts of the annual summit as a Penoir delegate. And that was only a suggestion, is to go up with other legislators from Canada and other states. So it might be a good opportunity, but we shouldn't limit it to that. But again, you've watched the show, you can read about it, you can look at pictures, but until you're there, you will not believe the scale of what is going on in that community with gold mining. It truly is like the turn of the century when it hit. It's just another gold rush, but it's an amazing process, and this idea of we sharing some of our mining wealth with the community because of those impacts, I think, is a good idea.
Any other discussion? Representative Sherman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad that Representative Herron brought up, you can watch the show, but it's better to be there. I was wondering if it was possible to witness this by way of video rather than expending the funds it would take the whole committee up there. But it sounds like you have to witness it, so I might consider that.
If I may, I've been there a lot of times in the summertime and in the wintertime, but until you see it in person, you know, there's a lot of activity besides gold mining offshore. There's gold mining onshore, and there's roads that are used for hunting. There's roads used for just to go to the other villages. There's a road to Teller. There's a road to what's that? Council. Yeah, and there's a and you can go everywhere, and there's a lot of impact on the community. And this, until you see it, you won't get the feeling of how busy that place gets in the summertime. And they have the rock mining that happens all the time. So you have all this activity going back and forth. So I think it would be good for all of us to see that, or for those of you who haven't seen that, to be able to see how the whole impact of all that activity falls on the community. Representative Herron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Drummond, is that I'll use three examples. Is that again, to see it in 3D is completely different. You will not believe when we go to Nome, is that the contraptions that these miners have made up. There's very sophisticated ones, and then there's ones where you wouldn't step on the boat, and they're out there in gold mining. But again, I don't think you can see it in 3D. The second example is my new district includes Unalaska, and it'd been 30 years since I've been to Unalaska. Until you go to Unalaska, you cannot believe the scale there as well. You can only understand it when you go there. And then the third and final example is I was on the school board in my district, my area, and this is the start of No Child Left Behind. And the president sent Secretary of Education Page, I don't remember his first name, but he was a very tall, thin black man, very tall, 6'7", and he looked funny in red-tipped knee highs. But he traveled to Napachuk, which is a boardwalk community, and the airport is separated from the community by water. And he came back, and I says, "Well, what did you think of Napachuk?" And he says, "I couldn't believe it. You could have showed me a video. You could have explained it to me. You could have showed me pictures. I would have never understood the impacts of No Child Left Behind in a boardwalk community because it was so foreign to him." And so I think that that's the advantage of this committee. Sure, there'll be an expense, but it's an investment in making a decision which we have to do all the time around here, is to decide if this makes sense for communities and regions that are affected by economic impacts. And so I think the expense of this committee going up there will be rather tiny compared to the impact and the decisions we should make in moving this legislation forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ledew.
You know, you pretty much convinced me at this point that the intention behind this is excellent. And, I mean, Nome, it appears, certainly needs something in the way of assistance to help develop the necessary infrastructure. I guess my only question is, does this bill provide the funding stability because it's still only going to be a year-to-year appropriation, and there's nothing that's going to mandate that it continue in any given year that you're really looking for, as opposed to simply going to the legislature each time and asking for an appropriation. So that's my only question here.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the primary focus of what we're looking for is to, you know, meet the infrastructure needs, you know, initially. And certainly there could be, for example, with the increase of traffic, as was mentioned by the mayor, you know, potential, you know, position, for example. And I don't know that the numbers are you know, all that significant in the big scheme of things, but maybe if I could ask Mayor Denise Michaels if she could comment on that.
Go ahead, Madam Mayor.
Yes, for us, this mechanism is a more stable source of revenue sharing, and we only see this increasing. It's such a positive economic driver for the state of Alaska in regards to lease sales. In the future, we see this only increasing.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Anybody else from the Ethernet or whatever? Okay, we will hold the committee substitute for House Bill 181 version U for further review. Thank you all for hearing Representatives Foster's bill. The next order of business is House Bill 166, Version A. Representative Foster, please introduce yourself and begin the introduction of your next bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Representative Neil Foster, representing District 39, Nome. And again, I appreciate you hearing two bills in one day for us here. And House Bill 166, it looks at who qualifies for the Bulk Fuel Revolving Loan Fund. Now, current laws for communities under 2,000, this loan fund applies to communities whose population is below 2,000, but it makes no distinction between communities that are on or off the road system. This bill keeps the designation of 2,000 for connected communities, but allows for communities less than 4,000 to qualify. So big thing here is really it just increases it from 2,000 to 4,000. And then also it increases the maximum amount that can be requested from 750,000 to 1.5 million. And so maybe if I could introduce my chief of staff again, Paul LeBeau, and he can get into some of the details here.
Thank you, Representative Foster.
Paul LeBeau, staff to Representative Foster. And just to expound on Representative Foster's comments, the increase in qualified population community only kicks into 4,000 if that community is located off of the interconnected state road system. So off the rail belt, so to speak. Otherwise, the 2,000 cap remains.
Representative Lady.
Through the chair, so what communities does that pick up?
If the members will go into their backup, they will find a lovely spreadsheet with various highlighted colors. And the highlighted red ones, such as Barrow, you'll see on the first page, are ones that we fall short of picking up with this bill, and for the committee's consideration whether or not 4,000 is where we want to go. This is just a starting point number. So as you see in green, we pick up Cordova, Dillingham, Kotzebue, Nome, Petersburg, Seward. We fall short of picking up Soldotna, but I think Soldotna's on the road system anyway. Fall short of Unalaska, Valdez, but Valdez is on the road system, so they would not be picked up anyway. And we pick up Rank.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Foster.
Thank you. I just wanted to note, as in past discussions with you, and certainly this is a policy call in terms of where the population number stands, whether it's 4,000 or 4,500, but we took into consideration that your community has natural gas, and therefore, yep. You know, we would have been more inclined to bump that up, but knowing that this is probably not a program that's used up there, we took that into consideration, so that's all I have.
One barrel is about 5,000 plus anyway, and like you said, we have natural gas and other things. Representative Drummond.
Last time I drove to Seward, it was on the Rhone system.
That's right.
So I'm curious as to why Seward is one of the communities that this bill captures.
I'm sorry, Representative Drummond, through the chair. This only highlights the population, so Seward is highlighted for the population, but they wouldn't make it because they are on the road system. So that is the same with... Well, that's the only one in green that is still on the road system. Some of the ones in red that were close were on the road system.
If I could, I think for us city girls, I think there needs to be an explanation of the bulk fuel loan system. I don't think I know that I'm not exactly sure what this does and why we need to expand it to these particular communities.
Yes, Representative Drummond, through the chair. I'll give a basic explanation, but we do have Scott Ruby here who can probably do a better job than myself. Basically, it's a capitalized fund that money is loaned out to communities for the purchase of fuel, and it's a low-interest loan. I believe the rate's 3%, 4%, that is loaned out of the fund, and those communities pay back into that fund. So it's a self-sustaining loan program, a lot like the various AHFC programs we have out there.
If I could, in other words, when you buy your fuel at the beginning of the winter or in the fall, you use the loan, the revolving loan fund, to buy the fuel, and then over the winter, as you use up the fuel and users pay back, then you pay back the loan.
Representative Drummond, through the chair, that's correct. And to expand on that, in most rural communities, you don't purchase fuel throughout the year. You have to get all the fuel in town before freeze up, because if you have to fly it in, the cost is prohibitive.
And hence the word bulk. Okay, thank you.
Representative Ledyu.
I'm confused at something in the printout of what is included and what is not included. You've got Cordova City, and then it says Valdez Cordova at 2,239, and then you've got another Valdez. Oh, I see. One's for Valdez and one's for Cordova, and I guess they are in a census area, Valdez Cordova. Now, I just figured it out. Thank you.
Representative Reinbold.
Thank you, Chair Nagia. First of all, I want to ask a question. You, Mr. Ruby. Basically, how much of a discount is this right now? If it's a 4% loan, I mean, what would a standard loan be at this time?
Through the chair, Representative. It would be what commercial banks would charge. I don't know what the existing banks are. Part of the issue with this loan program is many of these communities, because they're in a unique situation that they have to buy large amounts of fuel, where basically nowhere else in the U.S. does that happen. They're having to put out a lot of money. My name is Scott Ruby. I'm the director for Division of Community and Regional Affairs, and as of last year, Community and Regional Affairs operates the two loan programs, one that's formerly run by AEA, the Bulk Fuel Revolving Loan Fund, and the other is the Bulk Fuel Bridge Loan Fund. Is what we have found with many of these loan programs is, especially the smaller communities, did not have the ability to go to a bank and capitalize a large loan of $600,000 to $750,000, or it took a long time. So I know under the previous iteration of this, AEA was charging a market rate, and it varied between 4% and 6% for their loans. I think the last time they did it was 5.14% for these loans. Last year, when we were going through the legislation, one of the considerations was what that loan interest should be, and the idea was we're not going to try to penalize these communities for having to borrow to provide fuel for their residents, for their community facilities, because that just drives up the cost of fuel. And that, so it was the idea at the 4% rate for these loans was to set it at a rate low enough to make it sustainable, but still pay all the costs of the loan program.
Follow up.
And so through the chair, I just want to make sure, what is the commercial, unlike if they were to go to the bank? I understand the concept of this bill, which it sounds very reasonable, but I still want to know what would they be paying if they were just to go to the bank?
I do not know that at this time. I could find that out. I know we have one borrower package that has gone to the bank in past years, and I could try and find out what that loan rate was.
Okay, and through the chair, follow up. And is there enough, I mean, are you well funded in order to take care of this, assuming that this passes?
Through the chair, Representative Reinbold, I believe there's an analysis in your packet. It was on the table that we had prepared, looking at what the effect would be on the loan fund. As was mentioned earlier, there are six new communities that would qualify for this. In our estimation, three of those would not probably come to the loan fund because they can get barge delivery service throughout the year, periodic delivery, and why would you buy, as what we've done, if you can get your fuel every 2 weeks or every month, you're not going to buy it and store it for 3 months and incur that cost. So the three that might join in is Dillingham, Kotzebue, and Nome. The other question would be is by increasing the loans with that, doubling the amount of the loans would also have an effect. Our estimate would be that if you wanted to fund all the loans, there could potentially be another $10 million needed to capitalize the fund that would not only cover the cost of these potential loans, but also make sure that we have a little bit of a buffer so that we don't run out of funding. Now, obviously, if we didn't have that capitalization, is what we would need to do is more scrutinize applicants when they come in and those that previously may be able to fund it, but this may be a better deal for them. We would either, you know, deny them loans or reduce the amount that they could borrow to try and make sure that we have the demand for the most necessary borrowers.
You may not, thank you, Mr. Chairman, you may not be able to answer this question, but would this have any impact on power cost equalization or LIHEAP that you know of?
Through the chair, Representative Leinbolt, yes, it would, because this helps subsidize the cost of the fuel, and one of the major pieces of PCE, one of the primary borrowers of this is electric utilities, and so electric utilities, if this reduces their cost of the fuel, one of the pieces of the calculation is the fuel cost that they buy fuel for. So it would have a direct relationship on PCEs for those communities that borrowed it if it reduced their fuel cost over other possibilities mm-hmm. of getting fuel.
Do you mind just as a follow-up to that? And so could there be cost shifting from one place to the other into this loan fund from that?
Yeah, Representative Reinbold through the chair. I would say saving shifting more than cost shifting, because what would happen is while the fund would probably need to be capitalized, that would be a separate appropriation, the fund is a self-sustaining fund that communities pay back into. So if a new community comes online through that fund and reduces its fuel cost, when that utility starts to burn fuel to make electricity, it's burning cheaper fuel. And what that means is the consumer will not see a lower electric rate, but the PCE subsidy would shrink. So the PCE fund would be saved money, essentially, because the cost of, if the cost of generating power was, say, 30 cents, and PCE rates were say 20 cents to the consumer, that means PCE kicks in a 10% subsidy. But if in fuel savings, they can come in and generate, say, 25 cents a kilowatt hour power, well, then they're still going to pay 20 cents. But now PCE only has to pay 5 cents.
Right. I just want to make sure that this, you know, if this is something you guys really need, and let's say that belts are tightening down, just to make sure that you know, of an opportunity maybe where, you know, the balance sheets, you know, help instill this. I guess that's just what I'm trying to get to.
Representative Drummond, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Representative Ledoux.
Forgive me if you've answered this question already, but what's the interest rate here?
The interest rate for loans under the bulk fuel loan account is 4% for the first-time borrowers. If they are in good standing, there is the option for the second year for there to be a discount to 3%, and if they continue to be in good standing, down to 2%.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the panel?
Madam
Ledoux?
How often have you found somebody defaulting on a loan under the bulk fuel fund? Is that a common thing?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, no, it's not. We have a couple of borrowers under the bulk fuel bridge loan program, which is for borrowers of last resort that can't get either commercial funding or through this other loan. That all of these loans are intended to be paid back in 1 year or in less than 1 year. We've had a couple of them that do financial hardship, have taken more than 1 year. We've worked out repayment plans. Technically, we haven't had any defaults. All of the loans have been paid back, and we have some that are now on multi-year repayment schedules.
Representative Ledoux?
If somebody is in default, do you loan them money for the next year?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, in certain cases, through the bulk fuel bridge loan program, we have had to do that in order to keep the community from turning off their electric utility. If it's a matter of funding fuel for residential heating, we have not done that. The primary reason has been for electric generation, to keep the plant operating and to protect the public facilities.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, Representative Foster or Paul, any final comments?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to delve into the numbers a little bit more in the bill. I didn't explain it earlier, but the reason for the increase from $750,000 to $1.5 million is a direct corresponding increase to the maximum population of the possible community on the system, and it keeps it at, I believe it's $370 per person. And as I said before, both those numbers were essentially just starting points, and we would definitely like the committee's input on whether or not those numbers should go up or down, both population and or the loan amount.
I think that would take another bill, wouldn't it? If we had to consider the cost to the program?
Mr. Chairman, we could do that either through the amendment process or through a committee substitute.
Okay. Representative Ledoux.
I was just going to ask, where did you come up with this $1.5 million, and how did you decide on that figure versus $2 million or $1 million or
what
figure?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair. So the first number we came up with was 4,000, which was just a placeholder. And in order to come up with a corresponding number to that, we took the current fund, which is $750,000, divided that by the 2,000, and came up with, I believe it's $370 or $375 per person. So then we just took that per person amount and multiplied it by the new number of 4,000, and that gave us $1.5 million.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, what Paul is saying is we just doubled the population, and then we just doubled the loan eligibility. Just to give you a sense of what that really does, if you look at a place like Nome, and I know that they have, they've got the utility in Nome, and then they've also got the there's, I believe, the two fuel vendors in Nome. And one of the company that does most of the residential heating, they've got storage tanks, about 3.6 million gallons in storage. So I just do round numbers, and I say if that's 4 million, and then you turn those tanks over twice in a year, that's 8 million gallons. And say you're buying fuel at $3 a gallon, so that's 24 million right there. So really increasing it from 750,000 to 1.5 million would just be a small portion of what that community uses, and that's not even including the utilities. But we did want to at least, you know, from time to time, look at this bulk fuel loan program, make adjustments to it. You know, I foresee that this is probably, you know, I would like to see it help the smaller communities that may be growing a little faster. But rather than look at, you know, making these adjustments every 10 years, try and stay up with it a little more often, so that we aren't making big jumps, you know, over, you know, say if it's 10 years, and if we're looking at this every few years and making smaller adjustments, I think that's more palatable to, you know, folks that are making these decisions. So that was kind of the rationale.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your bill. Is there a motion to move?
Mr. Chairman, if I may. One thing I would like to point out is on this spreadsheet that we had, we were only looking at communities that were under 5,000. And Representative Heron's not here, but I would note that his community of Bethel doesn't pop up on the sheet, because that's 6,219 people, I think. So he may be interested in what that population number is. It could be that Bethel's large enough they don't need to go through that fund, but for the committee's consideration.
What is there any discussion about that?
Well, I guess I'd like to hear from Representative Heron. I don't know if we can go find him now, or if we need to wait till Thursday. I don't know.
If it makes it easier for the committee, if we don't, if we don't
take a
I was going to say
the record. We're going to hold this until Thursday, we're holding for further review. This is our last committee meeting until it's January 14, 2014. So, do you want to hold this at that far? I don't know. Or
thank you, Mr. Chairman. From what I understand, this may very well, because it does have financial implications. You know, it may go to finance, and finance won't be taking this bill up this session. And so, you know, we'd certainly be happy to consult with Representative Heron, and then maybe revisit this during the next session. So.
Representative Drummond.
In the meantime, thank you, Mr. Chair. In the meantime, there's a handful of communities that will not have access to this revolving loan fund because this bill hasn't gone anywhere. But in the meantime, they do have access, but at a higher rate, or they have access to commercial loans.
Representative Drummond, through the chair. They currently, all the ones on the list, do have access through commercial loan funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. Just a final comment, and that is that the question was raised, if new communities, $10 million would potentially be needed for this, and so that's another component that to fund the loan if all communities took advantage of that. And certainly we would not want to create a situation where, you know, for example, a Nome or a Kotzebue or another community that was, you know, well organized and on the ball, and they got their application in first, and then you're looking at somewhere like Teller, which, you know, really needs this assistance, all of a sudden there's no money left over for the small community. So that's certainly another component we need to look at, and we'll look at that over the interim. But I did at least want to have the opportunity to raise this now, so that, you know, we can have a head start when we start a next session. So appreciate it.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, one of the other considerations that Representative Foster and I have discussed with constituents is, independent of the population number, is the fund number correct? I mean, is $370 per person realistic? Representative Foster, you don't know, used to run a fuel company, and one of his comments was, even $1.5 million isn't very much when you're buying fuel.
Representative Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess if this committee does decide to go up and visit and see the lease and all the economic issues, you guys could also make it educational so we understand more about this fuel and the energy needs and things like that, so we can get as much education as possible when we go up there. I'd certainly appreciate that.
Thank you. Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very much would love to do that. The tank farm for the two private vendors are right at the port, as well as the utilities, and so you can, you know, kind of get an idea of what's going through there and just give you an idea as to the scale. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, with that, we will hold Hostel 166 at this time for further review. This is our last committee meeting until January 2004, and I want to thank every one of you here in the committee, especially my co-chair, for such a wonderful session this year. And we'll see you in our next meeting in January 2014.
Ditto.